So we are reading from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 to 9, and Matthew 26, verse 26. Oops. Okay, here we go. On the count of three. One, two, three. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear Israel and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Please be seated. Amen. So this morning, we are on the topic of family. And it says here, on family matters. So we are talking about family matters, and it says here to be engaged, all right? And as I went one screen earlier, this is the memory verse that you're supposed to memorize for 2019, all right? Take a quick glance of it, and I will ask you all to memorize 2019's memory verse, all right? Is on Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Shall we read together first, all right? Good. One more time. Okay, now, turn to your neighbor now. Can you quote Galatians 5, verse 25? Okay, turn to the person, turn behind. And quote now, faster. Okay, one more time. Since we live by the Spirit, let us step with the Spirit. All right. Amen. Amen. Okay, so that was my assignment from Pastor Chris to you all. So I've done it, and I'll get on to the sermon proper now. Okay, so this is my family, and I grew up in a family that loves the Lord. And you can see that's my on the left, that's my natural family. That's my dad and mom and my two brothers. So I was about how old was I? 12? 12 or 13. Then Alex is right in front. He's more of the drama queen. He is probably about 9. And then my youngest brother, Mervin, is probably about 6. So we are 6 years, we are 3 years apart, actually, all right? And we went to Taiwan together last year for a family trip, and it's all of us, and I have a new niece now, Jessa. She was not out yet at the time. She was in Wenlu's tummy, and so this is my natural family. So we're talking about families today, and as believers, we have got two families, all right? A natural family and a spiritual family. Now, in a natural family, we have got a few roles. Now, some of you are fathers, yet at the same time, some of you are sons. And likewise, some of you are mums and some of you are daughters. Now, it also extends to son-in-laws, daughter-in-laws, father-in-laws, and what? Mother-in-laws. So, family matters, but sometimes family matters can also be very, very messy, all right? But in Christian life, there are two families, the spiritual family, and next is what? Sorry, I give the answer away. First is the what? Natural family, and then we have the spiritual family. Now, what is the spiritual family? Turn to your neighbor now. Look at him or her. Are you my brother or sister? So, yes, we are a spiritual family. Now, in DUMC's context, all right, we believe that we grow a lot healthier and stronger when we are in small groups with a small community. And this is an example of a spiritual family you see here in DUMC. There is cell groups that are, that there are also ministries that you can attend. There are also classes that you can go to. You can also go for the woman-to-woman weekends as well. All the Men Alive weekends you just saw just now with Pastor Daniel. All right? There are also a lot of opportunities for mentoring and for accountability. Now, I have a natural dad. I have a few spiritual fathers. And I'm very, very grateful and thankful to all these spiritual fathers plus my dad for speaking into my life. And I need these people to keep me accountable, to keep me in step, so that I do not stray away. So I'm very, very thankful for all spiritual dads in the UMC. And I want to particularly thank Uncle Ling and Auntie Helen for journeying with me and Yuki for the last few years. And I really, really value their input into our lives. Thank you, Dr. Ling and Auntie Helen. Can you just give them a hand? So, we have got two families, natural families, spiritual families. But as we all know, we're all human beings. As human beings, we're all what? Imperfect. So, family matters can be messy, but family matters. Family matters can be very, very messy, but family matters. Now, this is, as I was preparing this sermon, I looked at my own family, my relationship with my wife. Now, we have no children, but we have lots of spiritual children. I look at my relationship with my father and my mom. It is not the most perfect relationship, and I would like it to be better. And is it messy? To some degree, it is messy, but I do hope that by the end of this day, as I preach this sermon to you, is also to myself as well, that my relationship with my family members definitely can improve. And family matters to God. God really wants families to thrive and to succeed. You know, civilizations falls or go into decline when families are in shambles, when families are broken. Civilization and society disintegrate when the core family is attacked. And all of us here, imperfect people, messy people, have the responsibility of ensuring that our families are intact. Not through our own strength or through our own efforts, but because we have got Jesus Christ as our Lord, He is able to sustain us, give us life, accept us as imperfect people, so that our families can continue to grow strong. Now, we all have got roles to be engaged in our families. So what does the word engage mean? Engage in the dictionary says to occupy, to attract, to participate, or to involve, be involved in someone's life. So ask yourself now, how engaged are you as a family member in your family? Now, all of us here, for those of us in Chinese in particular, will be going to meet our family members. Are you going to be very engaged in your with your families? Are you going to be there physically present, but totally disengaged from your loved ones? Or are you just going to not going to see them at all? You're saying that I'm going to just stay in PJ this time around, not brave the traffic and see my loved ones. I'll just stay here. Question for you to ponder. So, to engage our families, we have to be very, very intentional. Now, all of us spend our time at work, at universities. We do well at work. We have got success. We're successful at our workplace. Most of us are successful at our workplace. We are successful at our colleges. We score straight A's. But all this cannot compensate when we fail at home. All your successes in life is not equal to family life. All this doesn't equate to your engagement of how much you engage with your family. So, as a young boy, I just finished university, and this uncle of mine back in Klang, who gave me a very good advice. I remember to today. He says, "Gilbert, you need to know what is important. What is not important, forget it. You need to know what is important." So what is important, friends? At the crux of the matter, what is important? God and family. Now, I do know that all of you love your family members, all of you parents, because you spend so much money for their education. You do so because you love them. You want them to succeed in life. You spend the best amount of food for your parents who were elderly. So I'm talking from both sides, as parents to your children, as sons and daughters to your parents who are older. You want to see your parents who are more elderly now taken care of in a very, very comfortable place where they can grow, they can age and be comfortable. So all of us want our family to do well. We love them. But the thing is, are we engaging our families the right way? Are we engaging them the right way? So for those of you who are younger parents, 10, 15 years from now, will your kids come back to you and say, "Daddy, Mommy, I love you"? Will they come back to you with arms open wide, willing to just spend time with you? And this was a question that I had to ask myself as well to my dad and my mom. Because as a son, I have not spent as much time as I like with my parents. Somehow sons tend to neglect their parents. I think daughters love to go back and spend time with the parents. Am I speaking for myself here? Are all sons here all different? So I have to think and spend time with my parents as well. So why must we then engage our families? Why must we engage our families? Number one, it is a command of God. It is a command from God. Can we read together Deuteronomy 6, 1 and 2? These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and the children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. So God has directed all of us to engage, to be involved in the lives of our children. What else? Not only children, what? Your children's children as well. So grandparents, continue to be involved in the lives of your grandkids. I have a grandmother who is probably, I think it's 85, 86 years of age, and she's always been praying for all her children, her grandkids, and now her great-grandkids without fail. And I'm so blessed to have the prayers of my grandmother always backing me up. Now, it is such a legacy of her that she's such a prayer warrior, keeps praying for her kids. Now, so God has given us a directive to be involved in the lives of our family. But when God gives a directive, what does he expect of us? To what? I'll give you an example, right? All wives here, when you ask your husband to take out the trash, the garbage, what do you expect him to do? What do you expect him to do? To take out the trash, right? And throw it outside. Do you expect him to do it immediately? Come on. I have a wife. She expects me to do it what? Immediately. But I tend to do it what? Later. But the key here is what? To what? To obey. To obey. All right? And for those of you who are dating, all right, when you ask your boyfriend to come and pick you up on time, what does it mean? To pick you up what? On time. So you expect him what? To obey and to follow instructions. Right? So in the same way, when God gives a direction or a command, he expects us to do what? To obey, and to do it what? Immediately and consistently. Because if you are to teach and impart this to our children, you must do it consistently. Not just do it one time, but do it consistently every day. So the first part is a command from God. And the second one is, they are our disciples. They are our disciples. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 9, it says here, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on" who? Your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So this is an instruction that we are to disciple, or teach and impart our kids. Now if you look at verse 5. Now, is that familiar to you, verse 5? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Is that familiar to you? Who quoted this? Jesus. So what is the greatest commandment? What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment. What's the second commandment now? Now, he added a second commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. self. Now, who is your neighbor? Who is your closest neighbor? My spouse. Your spouse. Followed by who? Your family members. Your sons and your daughters. So in your household, as parents, you are first to disciple them. You are first to impress that they follow the Lord. A successful ministry, like I said, is not about wealth, it's not about things. I want to say that my parents are very, very successful because both me and my brother are following the Lord. Both me and my brother are following the Lord. And all parents desire that their child or the children do well in all spheres of life. But it would be such a sad thing to know that they do well in all spheres of life, but they are not following the Lord. And for those of you who have no kids, who've not married, you're single, all of you are also spiritual uncle and aunties. There are people around watching you and how you live your life. So there was once this couple who went to do PMC. They asked me, Pastor G. They call me Pastor G. I don't know why. Because my name is Gilbert, maybe, all right? Yes. So, Pastor G, we want to do PMC. We have this couple in mind that you want to ask to help us in our PMC. So I asked them, why do you want to ask them as to be your PMC? Oh, because they are such great parents. I like how they take care of their kids and how they interact with each other. Church, people are watching you. The young and the old are watching all of you. But church, just don't watch, all right? What can we do? Go out, build relationship with the younger ones, build relationship with the older ones. This is what DMC is all about. A church that is intergenerational, but with family values at the very, very core. Last Sunday, I got a call from one of my cell members saying that Pastor Gilbert and my wife, can you go to my cell member's house for house cleansing? So me and my wife went along, and the cell leader was there, and it was so good to see it at the same time, an older couple coming alongside them to help in the house cleansing. Isn't it nice to have older people, younger people, but all wanting to help and serve the family who needed house cleansing? So it was just really, really amazing. And can I go on to brag about this couple? This couple used to lead a CG of their peers, his grandparents, all right? And so they told me, Pastor, every time we meet for cell, we talk about our grandkids, we talk about our holidays, we talk about our hospital visits, ask for prayer. And it's becoming very, very mundane, and there's not much of purpose in cell anymore. So, Pastor, can I close the cell and can our members go to different YACGs or not? I said, yeah, most definitely, but please don't close the cell. All cells, please don't close. This is just one account, all right? So they closed their cells and all of them went to a different young adult cell group to be situated where they can be a blessing, be a friend first, be a friend to all the younger people. And the younger people just received them with arms wide open. So there's a lot of opportunities in DMC for us to be involved in people's life. Just don't watch and observe. Get involved. I would like now to invite a man who has greatly impacted my life. And he knows me inside out. He knows my strengths, and he knows my weaknesses. So, can this gentleman please come up? It's my dad. I'm going to interview him.
Do I know that man you talk about?
This is my dad. This is James Tan. Do we look alike? Okay. Oh, no. Dad, thank you for agreeing to for me to interview you.
Thank you. Yeah.
No choice, is it?
Surprise.
So the first question I want to ask is when you hear me ask you to share about your role, your life as a dad, what came to mind first?
I say I'm not the right one. Oh, I think it's true. I mean, maybe I like to set the thing correct, just in case you view me as a different sort of pedestal. We have quite a number of people who know us come and say, you know, wow, your two sons are pastor. It must be very, very blessed. But let me tell you, I'm a very ordinary father, far from perfect, you know, and it's not what we are doing. God is good. We are ordinary father with same challenges as all parents face, but the difference is God is a different one, all right? Yeah.
So how was it like raising the three of us? Were we a handful? Were we very naughty?
What do you think? Generally speaking, I think they are quite okay. But as all young boys, you know, there are fights among them. You know, there are games and fun. But at the same time, there are fights between them. And
do you remember any fight?
Well, one time, I think I didn't know about that when he spoke some time ago. He made a confession, you know, about Alex disappeared in a drain, and I didn't know he was responsible. You know, I can only remember we were going to a shop, and suddenly, you know, this just run, and then Alex end up in the drain. And later he confessed that he was the one who shoved him away. Oh, that. this is one thing, you know. And they like boys, like, they're very restless in church. And many times I give them the look, and the mother give them the pinch. As to who got a pinch more, you ask them.
Oh, it's not me.
What do you say? But God has a sense of humor. There was one prayer meeting, I think. It was Alex who was a bit restless, making noise. Then suddenly, you know, my wife discovered she was very quiet. And then later we found out that she came across a verse in Jeremiah, you know, chapter 5, where God says, you know, let me just in case of God, he says, "Do you not fear me, declares the Lord? Do you not tremble before me?" And suddenly, Alex was so quiet. So God does help in parenting. When we cannot do, they help us, right? And then another one was, I can still remember, one day, I think the mom was chasing him around, Alex. And I was getting hold of him from the back and stop him from running. Then I suddenly hear him coming, shouting, "Child abuse!" I was wondering, when did my son know about child abuse? About human rights? About dad's right, you know? But that was how they do, you know? Yeah. So you know, and you're dealing with my third son. We had a third son, all right? And he went home earlier than us. I don't know when I'm going home. That was 20 years ago. all right, when he was 19, and together with four others, at the waterfall incident, it was a sudden, and more of them were in states at that time. But thank God, and it was the firm belief, my firm belief that God is good all the times, and all the time, God is good. But that was really put to the test. That was the greatest test. It's good to say many times in the church, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. But in those periods, was trying. But thank God it was those periods that God has helped us. Yeah.
Exactly. Would you want to just share one regret that you may have as a father?
One regret. Okay. I think I wish I have communicate more, or let's say engage more with my family and children. Basically, they grew up in a church environment, and I was serving in the leadership. Definitely too busy, and neglected the family and the children. So definitely, if I were to do it again, I would like to engage my children definitely more. So this is one regret that I have, that I didn't have. Of course, those days, we don't have example that you have now, father and son. Like when I heard Pastor Chris, how they have family time with their sons, I say, I wish there were things like that. There were about five love languages. There were about, you know. We didn't have that. We all, our parenting is by trial and error, and they were our guinea pig. You know, but God is good. I mean, we, in spite of that, without those things, but if I say, yeah, I would like to engage more with my family and children.
Thank you. There's one last question. Can you give that some words of advice to parents here in DUMC?
As I say, we are very ordinary family, and we have things to clear. There are no perfect parents. You and I are no exception. There's no perfect parents. I would say one way is to be authentic before them, before our family. Like one of the core values, be real, isn't it? So we need to be real, be authentic, and learning to share even our sorrow, our even sometimes defeat with them. To show that we are real, and that in our walk, in our faith, and I'm sure you know that saying about it's more caught than taught. I would say, in terms of teaching, I fail. In fact, my wife did more in teaching the children as the older generation do. Right? We hardly engage, especially the father, hardly engage with the children. And the father would have, the mother would have taught them more. So, so it's learn to also be real and learn to release our children to the Lord. The death of my third son taught me actually, right? When I was questioning God, I say, you know, that time I had a mother. I had a mother is already, you know, in the late 70s, 80s, and she's in that already in the stage where sometimes we visit her with my wife. She can't even remember her name. She can't even remember that we visited her. She's not in the stage, and I tell God, God, why don't you take her? Why don't you take my son? You know, a 19-year-old son, and doing quite reasonably well, you know, in colleges. Why do that? But no, I mean, God speaks. Yeah, that's what most of the Christian children do. Give me the level work. Left over the second best, or the, you know. So I've learned to release my children to the Lord, and I'm thankful that both of them are serving the Lord. But my advice is learn to release them to the Lord. They belong to the Lord, and it's best that they do what the Lord wants them to do. They may not do what I want them to do, okay? Definitely, when you say you want to go to Bible college, I try to discourage him, in fact. You know, right? So, but at the end, you find that definitely is this thing that helped me to release and to commit to the Lord, you know? And I mean, we thank God for family lives. Thank you, Pastor Chris. You're still there? Pastor Chris called me yesterday. I mean, not called me. He texted me yesterday to encourage me to share, you know? Yeah, so that's good, you know? And yet having all this facility in DMC is a great place. Take advantage of it to join the family life in whatever courses they conduct, whether it's parenting, you know, or maybe one day they'll do grandparenting also, you know. So make full use of the courses, and we are blessed as a church in DMC to be equipped, you know. But having said that, I think nothing will substitute our personal time with the Lord. There's no substitute. Want to be good parents? I think we have to hang out with our Father, to linger around with our Father. And when we are able to linger around with Father, definitely we'll be a better father, better, you know. So I'm not here to ask you to perform your duty. I think we know, many times we know about the duties. We attend courses, we know what's our duty, what's our role, but it's not so much of performing, but to be the father and the mother the Lord wants us to be, all right? I think we know what it takes to be a father that we should be, but I think God is more than enough, okay? So connect with God, and God will connect our family. Okay, that's what I want to say.
Thanks, Dad. Thank you. Thanks so much. Let me continue to brag about my dad. When he talked about doing quiet time, he hanging out with God. He hangs out with God consistently every day. So as a young boy, when I come downstairs to prepare for school, he's up early already at about 5 a.m. and he's in the study doing quiet time without fail. Every day, he's consistent. So he's very consistent in his quiet time. My mom, on the other hand, she is a prayer warrior. She prays. She prays for her children. She prays for us, for our well-being. So me and my brother Alex are very, very blessed to have parents who really put their time for us. So we just read Deuteronomy, let me just go back. Deuteronomy 6 verse 4 to 9, where it says, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Now, all this I've seen, I've caught my parents. I've also seen in church from the uncles and aunties who live their lives in Christ-likeness. And I see this uncle I want to emulate. This uncle, no. This uncle, some. We are all watching. So there's so many examples in DMC for young people and children to be able to learn and glean from. My prayer is that we make ourselves available, be as vulnerable as well. Amen? So, the question probably some of you in your minds are asking now, Pastor Gilbert, my family is not like a family. You have a dad or a mom that loves God. You have a good family. My family is dysfunctional. My family is broken. So how? I'm going back Chinese New Year to a dysfunctional family. When I go back to my family, all I hear is arguments. All I hear are people complaining. All I hear are people just tearing down each other. How? What can I do in such a family? Sorry, this is just me, my dad, my brother. Yeah. So how do I engage in a family that is broken and dysfunctional? So can I just draw your attention to Matthew 26, verse 26? Now, this verse, this text is very, very familiar when we do communion. So perhaps next weekend when you do communion, it will give you a different angle on how you approach communion in line with family. So as you read here, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." So I've highlighted four verbs there. Took, given thanks, broke, gave. So let me just draw your attention to the first one, take, where Jesus took bread. Now when we take communion, we are all partakers of his body. We are all partakers of the body of Christ. And when we and communion is an opportunity for us to remember of his death, his resurrection. But it's also an opportunity for us to remember the full life that he has given to you and I. So as we partake of his body, the bread, we are reminded that we have life and life abundantly. But unfortunately, most of us don't live life as life abundantly. We live like there are so much of difficulties and challenges, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. But God would say to you that when you take me, when you accept me as Lord and Savior, I am with you. I am in your midst. No matter how dysfunctional, how broken you are as a person, and how dysfunctional and how broken your family is. So, when we partake of communion, just remember that Christ is present. He wants to be involved. He wants to be engaged in your family's situation. So look to him and invite him into your family's condition. What more if your families are believers, but somehow there's still dysfunction and brokenness? Live a life that where when you partake of communion, invite him into your family. The second take that I want to just talk about is about the word take in the Webster Dictionary means to lay hold, to reach out and bring yourself to something. The word, this means to be intentional in being involved in the life of your family. If you are upset, if you have got, or maybe if you cause grief to someone, to your family members, let's be intentional. After we partake of the body of Christ, let's be intentional in going towards the person and say, "Forgive me. Forgive me for what I've done, what I've said to you in the past." It takes a lot of guts to say, "I'm sorry." And likewise, if you are, you've been hurt and hurt so much, take it to the Lord and say, "I want to be intentional. I want to see restoration happen in among my family members." And so the first take is we are partakers of the body of Christ. Thereby, there is life and life abundantly in us. But we are not living an abundant life as demonstrated in our family members. The second take is to be intentional in taking part in the life of our family. Be intentional. Take effort. And the third take is on your wedding day, when you say the vows to your spouse, where you said, "I take you so-and-so to be my wedded husband, my wedded wife." This is a lifelong commitment. You're taking each other as yourself. And your marriage is the best example that you can give to your kids. So my dear friends, if there is strain or dysfunction in your marriage, can I just ask you just to remember of your vows that you have made before the Lord, that you would take your spouse as one. So to remember that we are to live for our spouse. The issues in family, the issues in marriage is revolved around one issue, which is what? Me. I am always selfish. It's about me. So perhaps just a review that when I take you, is I'm bringing you into my life, I'm sharing things, my life with you. And thereby, it's not about me, it's about us now. So the first is take. The second is give thanks. Give thanks. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, For this is the will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances. All. The good, the bad, the ugly. Give thanks. A thankful heart first comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Comes from the mundane where you spend time with the Lord. So if I look at my dad again as an example, he talked to you when he had to say, God is good, he's good all the time, about the death of my brother. He could do so because he had a consistent walk with God every day. So as he communicated with God, as he spent time with God, he knew the character, he knew the person of God, and what his word is true to him will stand forever. It's never failed him. So when my brother passed away, his third son, went to heaven, he was still able to say, God is good. And this is because of his personal walk with him. So to give thanks, thanking God in difficult circumstances is very, very, very hard. Is it true? It's true. Saying, God, thank you, while you're facing storms in life is very, very challenging. But church, can I just encourage you? While your personal walk may not be as consistent, my encouragement for you is to continue to inculcate a walk with Christ. But at the same time, look at people around you, those whom have encountered God, and God has never failed them. And these are the testimonies of Christ in their lives. If we are not thankful, we will resort to being what? To complain, to be critical, to compare. And these three things always happen in Chinese New Year. To complain, to criticize, to compare, especially with family members. So let's give thanks in spite of all circumstance. Thirdly, break. Jesus broke it. Broke. We're all broken to some degree. We all have got hurts and pains. And I do not know the degree of your pain that you have gone through in your family. And some of you have experienced much, much, much pain. This is from Paul, where he exhorts the church in Corinth. He says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Let's read together, right? Let's declare it. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It is when we recognize that we are weak that there is no more solution. We need to stop engaging through our own strength. This is where Christ will come true for you. This is where we begin to surrender, to let him work on your behalf. Jesus came to save us all from our sins. But he didn't come to save you and I of our brokenness and pain. He came to save us from our sins. But whatever shortcomings, whatever failings, whatever pain you have endured, he didn't come to save you from that. But he came that through your pain and your brokenness and your suffering, when you allow the Lord to work through your weakness, thereby the grace of God will come true. Thereby Christ will be glorified. Christ will be exalted in your weaknesses. So it's a quick for you to ponder, in your brokenness and in your pain right now, Let's not wrestle anymore. Let's allow the Lord to just work in and through your pain. Because He will bring healing. He will restore a broken heart. So the first is take. Second is to give thanks. Third is break. And lastly is to give. And He gave it. The second greatest commandment is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And our neighbors, first and foremost, are our loved ones, our family members. But if we love our neighbor as ourselves, we try it very, very often. And most of the time, it falls short. Because we are not basing it on the first commandment, which is what? Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. We're saying just love my neighbor and I'll do it through my own strength. I will do it through my own capabilities. I will learn to love my wife or my husband the way I've got advice from this PMC couple. I've got advice from so-and-so. And I will put this advice into practice and I will love my spouse this way. Friends, there's a lot of personal effort. Yes, it may help to some degree. But if you do not have, if you do not give yourself to God, how can you give yourself to others then? So, we give ourselves to our loved ones. But it's very hard to give ourselves to our loved ones when we try to work through our own efforts and our persuasion. We have to first and foremost give ourselves to the Lord first, to spend time with Him, to know Him, to allow God to have control of our lives. And today's sermon is all about surrendering our rights to God. That's the gist of it, because we are all broken, we are all messy people. Messy people cannot love well unless we have encountered the love of God. So as I close, let me just share with you a story of a good friend of mine here in DUMC. I first met him in DUMC at Sea Park when I first came to DUMC. And this man is a very gifted and very talented young man. And as I met up with him, he went to recount to me a story of his past. He says, "Well, Gilbert, I come from Ipoh." And I asked him, "So where is your family now?" "My dad left my family when I was very young. My mom, who loves me and my sister, has to be in another country to work, to raise support for me and my family. And every time when I go to school," when I go to school, "I will be happy because I can spend time with my friends. I'll be out the whole day from 7 a.m. all the way until the sun sets. I don't want to go home at all. I don't want to go home at all because if I go home, I am lonely. There's no one there at home. My sister is there sometimes, but I have no one at home. My uncle is there, but he also works very late to the night as well. And this is my upbringing as a young man. So when I came to PJ to study, I was expecting the same, to be alone as well. But when I came to the UMC, he was so blessed because there were so many DUMC uncles and aunties that accepted him, that invited him for dinner, that say, "Hey, so-and-so, where are you going for Christmas?" "Oh, nowhere. Come to my house. Let's have a family meal together." And then when he was short of cash, he would never ask people for money, but when he was short of cash, somehow a generous uncle or auntie would say, "Hey, Elliot, this is for you." Oops, I say his name. "Hey, this is for you. He knows that I am sharing, asking for permission. This is for you." He says, "Wow, God provided for me through an uncle or auntie." So there are two stories, two principles that I want to share, friends. Brokenness and spiritual family. We are all broken. We are all messy to some degree. Some more messy than others. But all of us have got a community of believers here. Community of uncle, aunties. A community of young people to be able to glean from, to learn from, and to support and encourage. This is why I love DUMC. DUMC is an intergenerational church with family values that we can learn and glean from and each other. From each other, we can draw strength and support from each other. So, friends, this morning as I close, I want to just challenge you. Number one, if you are broken, if you feel pain, and if you're going back to going back home tomorrow for reunion dinner or lunch, you find that I don't want to see this uncle or this auntie. Or this auntie asked me, are you married or are you not? Do you have a boyfriend? Do you have a girlfriend? Or when are you having kids, by the way? Or what kind of job are you doing now? All these are questions that most people tend to avoid. But you can be as real as possible and allow the Lord just to work in and through you. I want to read to you a passage of scripture before I close. It's not on the screen, but I felt that I should read this to you. If you have your Bibles, can you turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5? Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. So when you go back to your family members, invite Christ into your family. Be intentional. Be involved. And read this together, right? On the count of three, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, be prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So when you go back to your family members this week, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy and glorifies the Lord, speak forth to your family members. Amen? Shall we pray? Some of you are here perhaps wondering, what is this pastor talking about? A spiritual family. There's only one family that I know of. It's my natural family. But this spiritual family interests me, and I would like to know more about this spiritual family. This family, friends, is basically a family, a community of people who follow Christ. And once we follow Christ, not only do we serve and worship Christ, we're here also to encourage each other in our journey with the Lord Jesus. So there's a lot of encouragement, there's a lot of support that we get from each other. And if anyone here this morning would like to know more about Christ, know more about Jesus, you can do so. You can ask Him to come into your heart by saying, I'm sorry, by saying, thank you, and please. Is there anyone here this morning with all eyes closed who would like to meet and believe and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Anyone here this morning? So all of us are Christians. It's fantastic. So we're all one family here this morning. I'd like to just open this time for prayer for those of us who come, whom you feel that you are, that there's your marriage or your family that there's needs to be renewal, there needs to be reconciliation, there needs to be God basically involved in your marriage or your family members. Come to the front and we can pray for you. Or if you are going back this weekend and you do not know how to meet and encounter someone who has hurt you, or someone whom you have caused hurt at, perhaps, come to the front and we will ask the Lord to pray for you as well. We just ask for God to bring His blessing and bring wisdom upon you too. So let's not wait. Come to the front and just let the Lord just speak to you and minister to you right now. Can the pastors and the leaders please come to the front and upon the altar for prayer.